Does thinking about the legal side of your business send you into total panic mode? You know getting set up legally is something you have to do, and you need to make sure you do it right, but you also have absolutely no idea how to make that happen. At least not without it costing thousands of dollars to work with a lawyer or taking hundreds of hours for you to figure it out on your own. Listen, I get it. We're helpers, we're coaches, healers, practitioners, service providers, not attorneys. We just want to help people, not spend all day trying to write contracts while being worried we're going to get sued. All of this is exactly why I asked today's guest, Sam Vanderwielen, to come on the Unstuck Entrepreneur podcast. Sam is here to calm your legal fears and set you up for legal success. Let's dive in. Hey there, I'm Shawn Miner, and this is Unstuck Entrepreneur. I'm a former nutritionist who turned a struggling, stressful nutrition practice into a thriving, freedom-filled online business where I work from home in my sweatpants while reaching and helping thousands of people all at the same time. Now I'm obsessed with showing other heart-centered coaches, practitioners, and solopreneurs how to build a business and life they love. Consider this podcast your safe space to learn both the inner work and practical strategies required to build the impactful, profitable business of your dreams. No hustle, grind, or long hours required. That's right, hustle culture, not welcome here. Let's get into today's session. Hey, hey there, friends. Welcome back to Unstuck Entrepreneur. So grateful to have you here. Thank you so much for checking out the show. Today, I want to get right into it. Our special guest, Sam Vanderwielen, is here to chat about the legal side of your online service-based business. This is a great episode, one that every single service provider out there needs to hear so that you can protect yourself when it comes time to help other people and put your work out there and build this amazing business of yours. So whether you are just starting out in your business or you have been in business for years, this is really important to come back to and make sure that you have everything set up properly from the legal side of your business. And Sam is the person that can help get you there. Sam Vanderwielen is an attorney turned entrepreneur and a legal educator who helps coaches and service providers legally protect and grow their online brands through her legal templates and signature program, The Ultimate Bundle. She hosts her podcast, On Your Terms, where she shares fresh legal and business tips each week to help online entrepreneurs safely grow their businesses. Sam lives outside of New York City with her husband, Ryan, Minnie, Bernadoodle, Hudson, lots of plants, and her ever-growing stack of favorite books. If you've always associated attorneys with words like shark, intense, and cutthroat, you're in for a down-to-earth breath of fresh legal air from Sam. All right, without further ado, let's chat with Sam. Sam, thank you so much for coming on Unstuck Entrepreneur today.
Hey, Shawn, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is going to be such a juicy conversation. I already know it. So like I was telling you before we started recording, I kind of happened upon your work probably a few months ago, started Instagram stalking you as we all do these days, and really super love what you're doing. And it's just something that I think is so needed. So few people are doing it or know what to do or how to approach it all. So I just love what you're doing, and I needed to get you on to share your work with more people. So happy to have you here. Will you start by telling us a little bit more about where you started, where you are now, how you got there, all the good stuff?
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here and to chat with you today. So I was a corporate attorney. I practiced for a little over 5 years in Philadelphia, where I'm born and raised. And I hated it from day one, but I stayed in it for I don't know what reason, but I felt like very indebted to it and like, oh, I put so much time and energy and money, I should stick this out, or I really saw it as being like something wrong with me. And so I stuck it out for those years and unfortunately just went into this place of like victimhood and very like, this all happened to me. This is terrible. I've been like sentenced to a life as an attorney. And I had this like like sky opening moment when kind of literally, because I was involved in this like plane incident flying home from Amsterdam back to Philly. And in that moment when I, like, you know, at least from my perspective, wasn't sure if I was going to make it. It turned out everything was fine, obviously. But I had this moment where I was like, what are you talking about? You can do whatever you want, like with your life. You're in so much more control of your circumstances. And I have always been very passionate about health and wellness, but particularly about food. I absolutely love food and cooking. I'm a cooking nut. And so I left the law. I did everything that I teach people how to do now, I did within about 3 to 5 days from that plane incident. And I started my own health coaching business. So I had actually just fortuitously been taking like a certification program for fun, just for like self-enrichment. And then I was like, well, you know what? I actually want to focus on teaching people how to cook. So there's not really a whole lot that had to go into it, you know, more that I had to do. And I started a health coaching business. And I was really excited about it. I was really excited to like flex myself outside of being a lawyer. But I could not get people to stop contacting me and coming up to me at conferences and things being like, hey, so you're Sam. So, okay, you used to be a lawyer. So like, what's the deal with the LLC? And like, what's the deal with privacy policy? I would be like, stop asking me about that. Like, why? I don't want to talk about that. But the more that I just spoke with people and just gave them, like, I wasn't selling anything. So it was like, oh, sure. Here's what you need to do. I would see the relief and I would see how confused they had come to me. And something clicked for me of like, oh, there's a reason why, right? Because legal stuff is inaccessible and it's overly confusing and it's expensive and all of these things, and especially not tailored to these kinds of businesses, to online businesses. So of course they're confused. And in 2017, I shut down that little health coaching business and started Sam Van Der Wielen LLC. And there was no looking back. Within like hours, I made sales to people like randomly through Google searches. And now we're like thousands and thousands of customers inside my bundle program, and like customers all over the US, obviously, in like 6 to 8 countries, I think now as well.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think what makes it so unique is because you know the online business space, which it seems like for us that are in the online space, everyone should know what that is. Like, of course, you know what online courses and group programs and all this stuff, what that all means. But then if you try to go to your lawyer in your small townville, they're going to be like, what? Like, what are you talking about? What do you do? Yeah, sure, they'll help you. But do they really truly know what your business looks like from the inside out to know that it's the right thing for you? Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's why I think what you do is so important for us in this kind of coach practitioner world where we are service-based businesses. So we're helping people, and then add on top of that, helping people potentially with some sensitive topics like their health, their wellness, their nutrition, what they're eating, what they're doing with their bodies. That's all like another layer of making sure that we need to be protected on so many levels. So I love everything that you do, as I think I've made it pretty obvious by now, but I really want to know if we can kind of deep dive into what people are potentially doing wrong or not doing in these kind of health coaching, wellness type businesses, and what they really should be looking at in order to make sure they are actually protected the right way.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that there's, from what I can see, and like you mentioned, there's so much, it's like a combination of overwhelm and fear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's so much to it, and you have to make sure you're doing it right, or else you could be in serious trouble. Right. Yeah. So what do you see as some of the biggest kind of mistakes or things that people are overlooking when they first start their online business?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that comes to mind, to dovetail off of what you've just shared, is that there's a lot of like head burying in the sand going on in our industry, because for some reason, people sometimes think that, like, because we have online businesses or virtual businesses, or we work with people wherever, they'll say like, oh, well, but there like is no law that applies to us. So therefore, like, it's good. We can do whatever we want. And I always say people treat it like the online world is like the wild, wild west. But in fact, you know, what happens in the law is like, if there's not a law that speaks specifically to what you're doing, they will find something and they will apply it to you. So I just don't ever want somebody to think like, I hear all this, like, oh, health coaching is unregulated or this is unregulated. That doesn't mean it's open season. And so I think just making the mistake of thinking that normal rules, laws, regulations wouldn't apply to you is a big mistake. After that, I think that, you know, because of that, like you mentioned, it tends to lead to a lot of this like overwhelm and then freeze. And so what I see are people who either don't move forward in their businesses because they're like, I'm not so sure if I can put myself out there because of this stuff, or they just keep spinning around in a circle where they're like, I'm going to grow my business. And when it gets big, I'm going to take care of the legal stuff. But every time they go to be more vulnerable, be more seen, you know, put themselves out there, they're like, but I probably shouldn't do that because I'm not legally protected. And so it keeps them kind of smaller. And then they keep coming to me saying that they're going to get legal stuff when they get bigger. So I think like the overarching category of a mistake I see a lot is just timing and like waiting. And a lot of the reasons that I hear about why people are waiting, a lot of the myths around like, I should be more profitable before I get legally protected. I should have X number of clients. I think I've heard like every variation. None of that in reality matters, right? So when we think about the law, it's like, there's no get out of jail free card for being not profitable, for being in the red, right? So no one's going to be like, oh, you weren't making that much money. Okay, it's cool. Like, do whatever you want, right? So you will still be held responsible. And I don't say any of that stuff to scare anybody, because if anybody like watches my stuff or anything like that, they know that like my approach is all like, no BS, straightforward, just like, let's just get this stuff done. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be expensive. But I just don't want you not doing it because you think either that the rules don't apply to you or that there would be like a pass because your business isn't far along enough.
Yeah, totally. Do you also see people kind of like, and I mean, I'm pretty sure this is illegal, but kind of just like copying other people's stuff thinking that's okay. Tell us a little bit about how that's not okay.
So I just recorded a podcast episode this morning about this for my own podcast. Talking about this, and I actually have a new product coming out soon to help people learn more about this. Cause I think this is actually something in our industry that's very like, I hear a lot of people talking about it who aren't lawyers. And so I want people to have access to legal information. Both because I want to teach you how to first, I think the first step is actually you learning how to safely share content. Because I think in the process of you learning how to share content and not be copying accidentally or infringing on somebody else's rights, like maybe they just don't want you sharing. It's not that you're stealing it, but you're sharing it improperly. I think in the process of learning that, there's a lot to learn about how other people can then share yours. So with my like approach, I always teach people like learn how to not be the copycat yourself first, because I always like to start inwards. And then because a lot of times people like to do a lot of pointing and then it's like, but you're actually sharing something improperly. And I think you, like I said, you can learn a lot from that. But yes, I was just talking about this on my podcast this morning that I was joking that I have no scientific evidence for this, but just my feeling of what I'm observing in our industry is that because of how much of a huge influx we've had of online entrepreneurs in the last couple of years, there's a lot of the, what I call, I'll have what she's having effect. And so just the people coming in being like, well, Shawn looks successful. So, and like, she probably also wouldn't notice because she's successful. So I'm just going to take this. And if I just copy what Shawn's doing, then I'm going to be successful like Shawn. And, you know, I talked about in the episode how I don't believe it's personal. Like, I don't know that people are like out to like injure you. I think they're just trying to take a shortcut to success. Right. And they see what other people are doing and think, if I do that too, then I will also have success. So I think we are seeing an increase in that. Unfortunately, I think we're even seeing a bigger increase in the actual theft of people's products. So I feel like when I started my business back in like 2016, 2017, we saw Instagram captions, we saw like maybe some blog posts here and there, this kind of stuff. And I feel like within the last couple of years, even more recently, it's been that people are actually purchasing people's courses and like downloading them and reselling them, sometimes the entire thing, sometimes a portion of it. So that is pretty scary, because then now we're talking about products that, you know, other people are using to make money off of them as opposed to an Instagram caption.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually, now that I think about it, I follow a few people who have had that happen to them recently.
Mm-hmm.
And like just stealing their courses verbatim, basically, yep. and selling them like their own, which is like, yeah, super scary. But there is a way that we can protect ourselves from that too.
I think what a lot of people don't know is that twofold. One is that you have inherent rights in things. So you have inherent rights in things that you create that are falling under the trademark category and things that are copyright. So just like briefly, things that would be copywritten are like your actual course materials, your videos, your like the modules inside of your course, for example, PDFs, guides, website copy, email copy. If you have like an email sequence that somebody steals, all that kind of stuff would fall under copyright, as well as all of your social media, you know, content. But it's just kind of hard to like copyright all of that because there's a lot of it. And then your trademark stuff would be more like the name of your business. If you have a creative business name, the name of your product or program or service, a tagline, a logo, for example, all of that kind of stuff. So when you create those and they're original to you and you're not, you know, copying off anybody else or anything like that, you have inherent rights when you create them from the moment of birth, right? And those are called common law rights. So you have common law trademark rights, you have common law copyright rights. The issue becomes what you can do about it in terms of enforcement, like your enforcement mechanism. And when you haven't registered and you're only relying on those common law rights, your enforcement mechanism is a little bit more difficult to enforce. Mm-hmm. When you register your trademark with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, or when you register your copyright and stuff with the US Copyright Office, you basically what I call like bonus rights. So you like get to sue them in federal court and you get access to additional damages. You get a presumption of having established this thing first. So you don't really even have to like argue about that anymore. So there are a lot of great benefits to registering. However, in our industry, I'm always like, you know, reminding people that it just wouldn't be practical. Like, for example, I have a podcast, I have a YouTube channel, I have all this content going on Instagram constantly. I have emails to my list once or twice a week, right? I have the ultimate bundles, gargantuan. So I have all of these things and I would have to have like a whole legal team, right?
Yeah.
So I really encourage people to think about their bread and butter pieces. Like what are your cornerstone pieces of your business? What would be devastating to your business if someone took it and made money off of it? Right. Mm-hmm. It's probably not your every Instagram post. It would hurt. It hurts and it sucks, but it's not that, right? It's for me, it's like my products, you know, these kind of big pieces. Once a product is going to be, I don't know, like you really feel like it's going to take, I tend to protect the name of it or the tagline for it or something like that. You know, big businesses, like a company like L'Oreal, for example, it makes like hair care products. They'll trademark something before it ever comes out. That's because everything that L'Oreal does essentially becomes a success, right? Yeah. It's like, it's just like part of their deal now. And so I think a lot of times people are adopting that, like, well, my lawyer told me I should trademark this before it ever goes to market. It's like, it's just like not practical in our industry. Like, I don't know about you, but like when I was a health coach, I put out a course and no one bought it. Like, why would I have done that? Like what an epic waste of time and money, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have multiple programs and courses under my belt that I only did for like 6 months or a year or something. Them. And it just wasn't what I wanted to do anymore. Those kinds of things. That stuff happens. Mm-hmm. That's how you eventually get to the program or the course or the membership or whatever you decide to do that does stick around for a long time. So to really wait until you know that that's something that you want to spend your time and money doing, it's so helpful to know that. Like, you don't have to do it right away. We can wait until we know it's what's going to stick around for a while.
I'm all about like knowing what the pros and cons are to something and then just making an empowered decision. Like, I'm not saying, you know, because sometimes people would be like, how can you say to wait? Because then in that time period, what if someone steals it? I'm like, I'm not saying it's going to be okay. I'm just saying, like, you can make a cost benefit analysis in these cases and be like, you know what, I might wait. The other thing that's really important to note, and this has gotten way worse through the pandemic, is that trademark registration takes like over 18 months. So it's like, what I think sometimes people will be like, well, I'm going to wait to put this thing out until I get them. Like, so you cool waiting a year and a half? Like the whole industry will be different by then. It's just like, that doesn't work for what we do. Now, when you do go to register a trademark, within like usually about a week, your mark will actually post on their website. So like if someone searched for it, it would be there. It just wouldn't be approved yet. So at least it would show up and somebody would understand that you have filed an application. That can be helpful. That's something that I will do sometimes. It's like, if I know something's going to be okay. So that's something to consider. At least it would show up in a trademark search, but you will not have approval for like a year, year and a half plus.
Is the trademark, we're getting kind of off topic here, but that's okay. Is the trademark process hard and time consuming?
So I really don't think so. I mean, this is an area where I feel like people have really been kind of robbed of this experience because it's not that bad. There are some major pieces that you have to be very clear on. First, I think is that a lot of people don't understand what a trademark is. You know, they'll come to me and say, I want to trademark my like course material. It's like, no, that's not trademark. That's copyright. So that's one. Other times people will say, I want to trademark my name of my business. It's like South Shore Sandwiches. Well, that you couldn't because it's geographic. That's like, that would get rejected immediately. So there are a couple of things there where like, once you understand like what makes this trademark strong and you understand that you only get to trademark something for the goods and services in which you're using it. So that's another common misconception is people think if I register this, then no one can use this phrase ever again, ever in any way. You can only protect it for the way that you're using it. So like if you sell an online course related to health and wellness, it would be another online course related to health and wellness couldn't use that word, right? But if like a shoe store wanted to open using that name, they could, right? That wouldn't really be blocked. So I think it's important to understand that. And once we kind of get people straightened out on that, it's actually a pretty straightforward application. That's what my new product is actually going to walk people. It's actually is like a video tutorial where it walks you through how to do it yourself if you want to.
Oh, cool. That's super helpful. Okay, good. Great. All right. So now we got that all figured out. Yes. Let's go back, see if there's any more like mistakes that you can think of that someone in kind of this new space of like creating their own business, like maybe feeling a little stuck around it, maybe stalling a little bit. Is there anything else that you see that them do to that would potentially get them into trouble?
Yes. So I would say scope of practice in our area would probably be another big one. So I think that, you know, to that same effect of like so many people coming into this industry, I think when people are new, they sometimes don't understand and they think, oh, if it's like an online business, I can do whatever I want, right? I can give medical advice or I can give financial advice, whatever it is. And again, just having that misunderstanding that there is actually a set of rules around a lot of that. And that in this industry is what we call scope of practice. So scope of practice, as you know, Sean, is what you can legally do based on like how you're certified, educated, qualified, whatever. And it's typically kind of defined by your state and whatever your state says. So let's say you're in the health and wellness field, you would want to know, like, what does your state define as the practice of medicine? Because that's only what doctors can do. What's the practice of nursing? What's the practice of nutrition if they have that, right? If they have that defined. Some other people who come to me will like be personal trainers or maybe quasi going into like therapy land. So that's where you want to know what are these definitions. I call these like umbrella professions. And so you want to know what your state defines those scope of practices as, because that's what you cannot do. And it's not necessarily that anything that's not listed there, it's like fair game. But for the most part, like if you're trying to become a health coach, for example, I would definitely look at, first of all, what a doctor can do, but also if your state defines an RD and a lot of them are now starting to define nutritionists, I have a feeling that some of what you might want to offer might not be okay. And so I'm a big believer that there is space for everybody and for everybody to offer their unique, you know, spin on things. And I think like along that same mistake, we just see people thinking that they have to offer all this stuff in order to have a business. So they like think they have to interpret lab results, for example, in order for to be like desirable to clients. But in reality, people probably need help that's much like simpler, like a more starting point than that. And if you are a health coach and you're not an RD or you're not a physician of some sort, then there is a ton of room for you to help support people when they're working alongside a medical professional, in my opinion.
Oh, I could not agree more. I think, yeah, that is something that I feel like could get someone in trouble is thinking they need to do more when they really actually probably need to do less. And there's going to be just as much, if not more, clients for you to help when you stay in your own lane, basically, yeah. and do what you are good at and what your own unique spin of that thing is, for sure. And like you said, and I just want to make sure everyone got this, it varies state by state, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. So it varies state by state. There's actually a really good little like state guide that you can follow that I can send you the link to so you can share if you don't have it already. But it's good, you know, to keep, one of the things I teach my customers all the time is that like 90%, I would say, of legal stuff that you get in place is kind of like do it once and you can be done with it. But scope of practice is an area that I would check in maybe once a quarter, twice a year, or something like this to see how things are going, because the stuff has been changing. And I think it's just a good part of your continuing education to like stay up to date as to what's happening. Some of the states have gotten looser, and so that's been cool. And others have gotten more restrictive. So it's like, you just kind of have to pay attention. But I always teach my customers, like the approach that I teach inside the Ultimate Bundle is to create a business from the get-go that's pretty much safe across the board. So like, you're not having to be like, oh, okay, like Sean's in Colorado. Okay. But this other client's in Florida. So I shouldn't talk to her about this, but I shouldn't talk to her about that. That would be a nightmare to me. So from my perspective, I teach like a very holistic scope of practice, like build out in your business of creating your actual programs and services to be within your scope of practice, and then go all the way down, like reverse engineer to your content. Because a big mistake I see in our industry is that people will have like, you know, programs and services that are okay, but then on social media, they're talking about stuff that's not within their scope. And I'm like, so then who do you think you're attracting to come into your programs? And then they're shocked when people want to like send them lab results or something like that. So, or help, yeah. or want help with like healing Hashimoto's or something like this. I'm like, but you were talking about healing. It literally says in your bio, I help people heal Hashimoto's. So people are going to be attracted to that. So I think just like making a very like holistic approach to producing the kind of content that attracts your ideal customer, and then having the programs and services that provide programs and services that you can legally provide.
I mean, that's also good marketing advice. Yeah, exactly. Because why are you talking about something that you can't actually help
it
with?
It happens a lot, unfortunately. It does. Yeah, I see that a lot. And I just think like there's a lot to be said about that. But the other thing, if you don't mind, that is really important about this that I want people to know, because I see this a lot, is that people think if they have legal stuff in place that it's a get out of jail free card. So people will say to me all the time, like, well, yeah, I know that health coaches aren't supposed to order lab work or something, or interpret lab work, but I have it in my contract that it says that they understand I'm not a doctor. So it's cool. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. It says in your contract that you're not a doctor because you're not a doctor. And then you can't do things that doctors can do. Right. So it's not going to help you at all. If you have legal documents that just because you have somebody sign something saying, don't sue me, or you understand I'm not a nutritionist, you understand I'm not a doctor or a therapist, and then you do the work of a doctor, a therapist, a nutritionist. So those two things have to be consistent, because all that's going to matter in the end is what you do. And so if they, you know, if something happens to them, God forbid, and then they sue you for it, it's just going to matter that you gave them the advice. No one's going to care that you had, in fact, I actually think it's going to be worse that you had a contract saying I'm not your doctor, but then you're doing doctorly things. So those things have to just be consistent.
Yeah. Okay. Totally. Which kind of goes in now, something I really want to talk about, kind of works its way into that, the things that we do need. Like if you are going to start your business and you're going to be a health coach, nutritionist, therapist, personal trainer, whatever your area is, you need to make sure that you are legally protected.
Yes.
And when people hear those words, and they're health coaches, not lawyers, then it immediately is like even I can still feel it. And I'm like years into having a business like that, like, oh God, I have no idea how to do that. And I'm super scared.
Yeah.
So
well, don't worry. I got you.
I know. That's why I love it. What are these things that we definitely need to have from day one?
There are like three non-negotiables from my perspective. One is having your business registered and having it registered properly. Because the point of registering your business, at least in America, is to personally insulate yourself from the actions of your business. So if your business gets sued, we want to set it up in a way that if your business got sued, or even if there were like debts or liabilities of the business, I mean, there are other things. We just don't want you to be personally responsible, right? And a lot of people at this point will tell me, well, I don't care. I don't have any assets. Like, come at me. And I'm like, well, no, that's not really how it works in America. Like, if you don't have any money, they'll just put a lien against you. So like, yeah. It's not like a get out of jail free. So it doesn't work that way. So that's why we want to separate you. And in our industry, a lot of people, kind of going back to the mistake stuff, a lot of people will think like, oh, I'll just set it up as a sole proprietor because it's faster, it's a little bit cheaper, but they're not knowing that a sole proprietorship doesn't offer you any of that, what we call personal liability protection. So when you register your business as a sole proprietor, you're literally just like saying to your state, like, I'm a person who's running a business, but that's it. There's no legal protection for you as a person. So if something happens to your business as a sole proprietor, you are legally on the hook for it. An LLC, you know, LLCs have become so popular in many states. They're state created entities. Every single state has like an LLC law, and they've become so popular because they were created as an alternative to provide some limited personal liability protection to its owners. So with an LLC, we have more of that, like you're over here and your business is over here, and there's like this wall in between you that's supposed to protect you from lawsuits. Now, some states are not as kind to those of us who own our LLCs by ourselves, and they don't extend that coverage all the time. There are ways around that I try to like teach people. Mm-hmm. But also, even when you have an LLC by yourself, you just need to know how to act like an LLC. So you need to really treat it like a business, have your business money separate from your personal. You know, you need to sign contracts on behalf of your business. You need to have contracts because that's how you'll establish that you are an LLC entering into a contract with a client as a person. So there are just a number of things that, and I have lots of resources that if you want to share with them, that of teaching people who already have LLCs how to properly act like it. So that's kind of the first like non-negotiable, is registering so that we can protect you first and foremost. Mm-hmm. After that, then I say get business insurance, because business insurance is what financially protects your business. So a lot of people get this confused and they think it's either or, an LLC or business insurance. But now that we just talked it through, hopefully this will make more sense. But you know, when you get an LLC, that's just protecting you as a personal, like as a person, not having you be on the hook for what happens in your business. But if your business got sued, it would still be financially devastating to your business, right? It's a super expensive process. You have no idea what like the judgment could end up being. You'd have to pay for a lawyer. So even if your business is the only one that's responsible, we don't want to make them pay for it, right? So right. Business insurance provides you with a business defense attorney if you get sued, and then they pay that attorney's fees. And then they pay for the judgment or settlement that's found against your business, if it is. So it's huge. It's a huge financial protection for your business. It's not for you necessarily as a person, but it's for the money of the business. And so then it's just making sure you have like the right kind and making sure you have the right coverage. I also have a lot of resources on that they can like dive into to make sure you have the right kind of business insurance. And I teach people like what to look for in your policy and know that it covers you and all that kind of stuff. So that's the second non-negotiable. And the third is a solid contract. It's like for whatever you're doing, it depends. Like if you're just starting out and you're only going to offer private coaching, get a one-to-one client agreement. If you only have a course, you know, get a course contract. So whatever it is that you're doing, you just want a really solid contract and you want to learn how to send and sign it properly. And that's really it. Those are my like three non-negotiables to start out with.
Okay. And then is there anything additional if you have a website?
Yeah. So if you have a website, there are three website policies. One's legally required. So the privacy policy is legally required. You have to have a privacy policy on your site. That tells people like what kind of personal information you're collecting from them, what you're doing with it, how you're keeping it safe, if you're keeping it safe, how they can get it out of your hands, all that kind of stuff. Then there's the website disclaimer, which disclaims you from liability for people visiting your site and like taking some sort of action. Like they read your blog post and then they go try something, or they, I don't know, have some terrible experience about something that you wrote onto your website. That protects you from liability for that, as well as like third party links. Like if you linked something and they buy it and then that injures them, you try to protect yourself from all that kind of stuff. And then terms and conditions are kind of like, that's the third one. It's kind of like the catch-all provision, I would say, of, you know, protecting your intellectual property, telling people what your sharing content policy is, talking about payments, like if you take payments on your site, talking about like third-party links and endorsements and all of these kinds of dorky legal things. And so that's all baked into that. So that I always recommend to people if you have a website.
Okay. So then we're in this place where now we have this list of things that we absolutely need for our business. And so now it's like, okay, cool. But then I don't know how to write a contract. Mm-hmm. I don't know what needs to be in my terms and conditions. You just went over that. That's cool. But I still have no idea what you just said.
Yeah.
So this is where the work that you do comes in, right?
I hope. Yeah. I mean, I don't want people to become their own lawyers. Like I always say to people, like you have to wear so many hats as an entrepreneur already that you're not going to be able to hire out, you know, you're going to be a copywriter. You're going to temporarily be like a bookkeeper and a CPA and yeah. you're going to be your chief marketing officer and everything else. Right. So it's a lot. Like you're not expected to be a lawyer. And part of why I do what I do is I hope to like release people from any of the stress or even like the shame, I would say. Like I have a lot of people come to me and say, like, I'm so frustrated that I can't write this contract. I'm like, why would you be able to write this contract? I'm not judging you for that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I created, like, I sell legal templates. So they're downloadable contract templates, all the website policy templates. I sell them all on their own. And then I have like a signature program called the Ultimate Bundle that gives people 10 of these, like the core 10, and then access to 35 trainings where I teach people how to form their business, scope of practice, working safely with people, protecting their content, all that kind of stuff. But I just wanted to give people like, it's instantly downloadable. It takes 15 minutes or less. It's super easy. And you get a video tutorial from me walking you through how to fill it out. So it's super easy.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so cool is because I think we assume once we hear this, it's like, okay, I either have to go hire someone and pay hourly this like astronomical mm-hmm. fee for that, for this lawyer who doesn't even really understand my business that well, mm-hmm. or I have to like, I don't know. I don't even know if you can Google these things. Like you would get something that is probably not accurate for your business.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not actually really protecting you if you do find something that's some generic thing. Right. Exactly. So that is where you kind of bridge the gap between the two. And they can make it actually legit for their business.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the biggest things that I see, like a lot of people come to me who try talking to lawyers or they even might have something to start with or something like that. And I don't do any like reviews of contracts or custom stuff. I just sell templates and all that good stuff. But I think like what they always like about mine is that having done all of these things myself, like I've been a health coach, I've done private coaching, I've done a course, I've done a group program. And then I've been in those, right? I've been on the receiving end and I've been in masterminds and group courses and all this kind of stuff. And I've seen like, oh, that's a problem. Or, oh, what about this? What about when somebody in your group program starts getting rowdy and is like bothering the other members? What do? Can we remove their access? Well, it doesn't say anything in that about the contract, you know? And in our industry, it's a lot of like, there are a lot of recurring payments or payment plans. There are a lot of issues around that. I see in the coaching industry, a lot of issues around like, somebody signs up for 6 month coaching with you and they stretch it out to like 9.5 months because they keep canceling and rescheduling. And are you supposed to provide support during that time? You know, so I see like a lot of that stuff as well as like chargebacks, increased number of chargebacks. Like when people contact their credit card or PayPal and they dispute the payment. So, you know, there are things you can do. That's why, you know, I'm always very honest with people about the fact that, and you should never trust a lawyer tells you that like, oh, do this and make sure you don't get sued. Because in America, we have the most like bananas legal system and people can sue anybody for anything. So you can't really do much of prevention, you know, preventing people from suing you. Although I teach people like all my best tips and tricks that I can think of. And I think just like being a good human and doing a good job and staying within your scope of practice can get you out of most things. But, you know, it's really about putting yourself in like the best position possible to either like dismiss it, win it, you know, not have it be an issue really, or insulate yourself as best as possible. Like we talked about, like you wouldn't personally be on the hook. Your business wouldn't financially be responsible. Everything would go on as normal.
So in that contract that you would create, like say you do have a payment options or things like that, there's a payment plan. Mm-hmm. And if someone defaults on that, you would be protected as long as it is in your contract that you have it very laid out specifically what happens, what's expected,
yes,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would say like 99% of the issues that I see related to payment are always like my first question to anybody, like anybody who purchases my products, get the access to a Facebook group, and they'll post a question in there like, this thing's going on with payment or whatever. I'll say, what does it say in your contract? Right. And then they realize, like, oh, okay, that's something I've got to flesh out, right? I have to make it more specific. These are evolving, breathing documents. Mm-hmm. And it also depends so much on how you run your business. Like everybody has different preferences. There's not like a right or wrong. Like some of my customers or even my friends are like, if somebody doesn't want to keep working with me, I want to let them out because I don't want to work with someone who doesn't want to work with me. Other people are like, no, if someone signs up for my coaching, they're going to pay for the whole thing, even if they stop. Right. It's not a right or wrong. It's just whatever you put in your contract. So what's most important is that it's there, it's clear, and then that the person signed it properly and all that good stuff. But even if the person stops paying you, like say they completely ghost you and they're like not responding to emails or something and their card keeps bouncing, this is like really prevalent in the course industry. You need to have a contract that was properly sent and signed and that has specific language so you can send them to collections. So you can't just randomly send people to collections. You have to have proof that this person owes you money, that it was due by a certain point, that they understood what the penalty was. So yeah, you want to have that all in writing.
Okay. I love what you said about it. Like in a lot of cases, there's no right or wrong. It's just making sure that you figure out what you want to have clearly spelled out in your document and put it in there and make sure that it's there. And also that it is okay that it changes. Like it's a living, breathing thing. So as you figure out things, as you come across things that you didn't know were going to happen and they're happening, then now you know for the next time and you can change that. So it's not like you have this one shot to write your contract and then it has to be that way forever.
No,
you can change it.
I hope you are changing them. I hope you're keeping them up to date because, you know, I joke with customers that this is like the, oh, didn't know we needed to say that, you know, kind of thing. And like, we always are talking, communicating about like adding or fleshing something out, making something even clearer than we already thought it was. This is actually a big downside to working with more traditional lawyers that they're still writing in very like archaic legal terms. And I have flowery, fancy legal language in there so that it, you know, it looks very legit and it protects you and all that. But I also write things pretty directly because there's no law that says that contracts have to be in like Latin. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay for them to be in English and to be very straightforward.
Well, yeah, it would help for the people reading them to actually be able to understand what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah.
So that makes it a lot easier for everybody.
It really does. Yeah. And it's yeah, like you said, it's just something that we should be going back to and saying like, okay, I want to make this clearer. Or you've just decided, like maybe you've decided, maybe your support has changed, your boundaries have changed.
Yes.
And more than anything, overall, like it's so funny because people come to me with this like big fear of being sued. And then we work through that. And it's like, in reality, it's actually just protecting your boundaries. Because like in reality, day to day, what's going to happen is that people stretch their contract. People don't show up to calls. People don't pay. People might, you know, I see this a lot with like people who teach kind of like business coaching of like teaching other people how to do what they do. They start seeing people mimic them. And then it's like, well, she got that from my program. Now she's teaching other people. That's the stuff that we see every day. And so these are things that you're going to be continuing to flesh out. But like you said, Sean, I've always thought it's like really cool that we get this opportunity. It's what bugs me about when people like steal other people's contracts and policies and stuff. Not to mention that you have like no idea if theirs is any good. So you could be like slopping onto yours and who knows. But the other thing is like, I don't need to adopt your business policies and you don't need to adopt mine. So what might make me comfortable is different than somebody else. And that's okay. And I feel like it's like a bad precedent to start as a business owner that you're already letting somebody else like make decisions for you. In that sense, it was like, no, it's your business. You have to drive this boat. You know, no one's going to do it for you.
That's actually really empowering. Like, yeah, I love the idea of being able to have the power in your own contract and make this business what you want it to be. Know you're super protected. Like just imagine the confidence even of you actually putting in what feels best for you. And like, I think even just doing all the things that we talked about today just automatically makes you feel like so much more legit.
Yeah.
as a business owner, you're like, yeah, I am a health coach. Yeah, yeah, I am a nutritionist. Yeah. I can do this. I love it all so much.
My ultimate bundle customer, Lauren Chamberlain, she calls it the legally legit glow up, because she talks about like how much she built her business after this. Because for some people, this really is the thing that just kind of triggers them to like go forward and feel more confident and put themselves out there. And every Friday in our Facebook group for the customers, we ask them like what their legal win was of the week. Like, did they get a contract finished, or did they like add a new program and use one of the contracts or whatever? And it's just so funny. Like, I can tell you thousands of people in there every single week. It's like, with this contract, I knew I could go out and create this thing. Like, with knowing what things I needed to look for in a group program, I went and created my first group program, you know, or I started blogging because I had all this protection. I was so worried that I couldn't write about these topics. So it's really cool to, from my perspective. I always joke that we're like business doulas and we like help people to put it out there.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. I know that feeling of it being just like this weight lifted off your shoulder too, especially when it's something that you just didn't have any idea how to do. And now it's like, oh my gosh, I figured it out and I am legit and I do have this business. Everything you do, Sam, I think is so cool. Will you tell people more about how they can get to know your work?
Yes, thank you. So you can visit my website at samvanderwielen.com. You can get any of my legal templates a la carte there, or learn more or join the ultimate bundle. I'll make sure that Sean has a link to share with you for $400 off the bundle, and you can get a bunch of free additional legal templates added to your pack, like a non-disclosure agreement, a podcast guest agreement, and a collaboration contract as well. So I'll make sure that you have that. And then I would say that you should come over and listen to my podcast, since you like podcasts, On Your Terms, on everywhere you listen to podcasts. I post each Monday new legal tips or behind the scenes business advice on Your Terms. And I'm at Sam Vanderwielen on Instagram. That's where I'm most active on social.
Yeah. And I love everything you post on social too. Really good, helpful tips just right there. So great. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge. And you can tell it's something you're really passionate about and love doing. So that really radiates off of your energy as well. So this has been really fantastic and so helpful. Oh, so I appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll be in touch.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Hey friend, real quick before you go, don't forget to head over to my website and take the quiz to find out your solopreneur personality type. I've created a super fun, super informative 2-minute quiz that will show you which one of the 4 solopreneur personality types you fall into. Could it be the boss, the socialite, the visionary, or the supporter? Which one are you? Not only is it just fun to know more about yourself, especially as it relates to your business, but it's also really important information so you can be sure that you're building a business that works for you based on your energy, your personality, and your desires. Did you ever take those quizzes from the Cosmopolitan magazine back in the day? It's kind of like that, but with actual solid questions and real helpful tips and advice at the end. You can find the What's Your Solopreneur Personality Type quiz right on the homepage of my website at seanminer.com. Head there now to take the quiz, then let me know over on Instagram at UnstuckEntrepreneur what your type is. I'll see you over there.